Second Kings chapter 20. You start reading there in verse number 1. In those days when it was... Start over. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle of court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee, and on the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, Take a lump of figs. And they took it and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, This sign shall thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, It is a light thing for the shadow to go forward, go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backwards 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which he had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. At that time, Berodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, the king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah hearkened to them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet to King Hezekiah and said to him, What said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? Hezekiah said, They are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, What have they seen in thine house? Hezekiah answered, All the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. As I said to Hezekiah, Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy son shall thou issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, which they shall take away, and there shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. He said, Is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? And the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might and how he made a pool and a conduit and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and Manasseh his son reigned in his stead. It's a really interesting passage, strange passage. You say, Preacher, that's too much for a Sunday night. I kind of agree with you. I made me tired studying it. There's a lot here. It's a very interesting passage. I was reading a couple of chapters over in this same book about Josiah, and I came back over to chapter 20 to learn about Josiah's grandpa, Hezekiah, and try to see how he finished out his life. And I've read that before, but it's never stuck out to me like it did today. And it's like the Lord opened it up, and that's where I need to preach on tonight. So that's what I'm going to try to do. King Hezekiah did a lot of wild things for God, a lot of good things for God. He conquered much. God was with him. God used him. Yet in this last chapter of his life, literally the last chapter here, we don't read much good coming out of King Hezekiah. Why is that? As we just read, God has given him more time. He begged God for more time. God said he's going to die. He begged God for more time, and God granted it to him. God went as far to prove it with a sign, and Hezekiah didn't do much with it. He had 15 more years, and we don't read of one good thing Hezekiah did with those 15 years. He wasted it. As I read through this, it made me really start to think and examine my own heart, my own life. I read here, and then went over and read the same account in 2 Chronicles. I sat back in my chair, and I was amazed at what Hezekiah has done and has not done here in these last 15 years. I read this passage before. I've read it many times. I've never really got the whole picture that I got this afternoon. It's amazing what you'll find in God's Word when you slow down and study it, actually read it. So I want to pose the question that came to my mind, convicted me this afternoon, and pose it to you. What would you do with 15 more years? If you were on your deathbed about to take your last breath, and the prophet Isaiah came to you and told you you're going to die, God miraculously allowed you to live 15 more years, what would you do with it? It's something to think about. What would you do with 15 more years? Look and see what Hezekiah did. Who is King Hezekiah? You've probably heard a lot about him before. I'm sure you heard his name before, but if you've never personally studied him, there's probably a lot you don't know about him. King Hezekiah is the going to read. There's a lot of scripture you can read. I'm going to try to give you a condensed version here. King Hezekiah is a great-grandfather of King Josiah. Most of you have heard about Josiah. I've preached on Josiah here before. The king started his reign at 8 years old. He turned the nation back to God. He was a teenager, found the word of God in the temple. Somebody found it for him, brought it to him. He begged God for forgiveness and turned the nation, turned his life around, turned the nation around, turned his reign around, changed the kingdom. We've heard a lot about Josiah. We could use a lot of that in our day and age, what Josiah had. We need some men in authority to find the word of God and go repent somewhere and start making some changes. That's another message for another day. Tonight, this is going to be a little bit more personal. It's not about the politicians, it's about me and you. King Hezekiah, how did he begin? To understand Hezekiah, when you go back to chapter 18, just two chapters back, I know it's a lot of reading. I read a few verses here, it's eight verses, and you can see a little bit of the history of King Hezekiah. It says in chapter 18, 2 Kings 18, verse number 1. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Judah, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which is right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places, broke the images, cut down the groves, break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria, and he served him not. He smote the Philistines, even in the Gaza, and the borders thereof, from the Tower of the Watchmen to the fenced cities. And you can go on and on and on. Read about Hezekiah and the different battles he's been, different things he's accomplished for the Lord. So King Hezekiah, he's one of the good guys. He says that in verse 5, there was none like him among all the kings of Judah after him, nor any that were before him. None like him. The greatest king Judah has seen. Doesn't say Israel is the nation, is Judah, not the nation split here. We know there's no king like Hezekiah before or after him in the nation of Judah. No king of Judah. He was a great king. He feared God. He did a lot of mighty things for God, and God used him. You can see his next few verses in chapter 18. Hezekiah doesn't have very much peace. He's always at war. The king of Assyria comes and takes part of Israel, and then Judah helps them out, and he takes them as slaves, part of judgment from God. 10 years later, a new king in Assyria comes to try to take over Judah, tries to conquer Judah, does a pretty good job. Hezekiah tries to pay him with all the gold of the temple, tries to pay him off, get rid of him. The king says no, king of Assyria. Eventually, through much prayer and fasting and falling before the Lord, Hezekiah crying out to God, an angel of God came down to the camp of the Assyrians and conquered the enemy for Judah. You can read that in 2 Kings 19, 35, one chapter over. Verse 35, it says, and it came to pass that night, the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Syrians, and 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. I love always laugh at that verse. When they arose, they were all dead. They woke up, they were dead. I know what it means. Talking about when Judah woke up, the enemy was dead. But when they woke up, they were dead. Apparently, Hezekiah can get a prayer through to God. I know I've covered a lot of ground there really quick. A lot of things coming out real quick. Hezekiah can get a prayer through to God. The Lord has used him for his nation. God has his hand on King Hezekiah. But yet here in chapter 20, where we started out, we see Hezekiah on his deathbed. You might say, well, he's an old man. He's done a lot of things for the Lord. Now he's old, now he's going to pass on. You might think that. He's done a lot in his life, but he's not that old. We saw in chapter 18, he began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned for 29 years. So he's 54 years old when he dies. We know in chapter 20 he gets 15 more years, so he's 39, and he's on his deathbed from sickness, from a boil, it says, dying before the Lord. It's King Hezekiah, one that was different than any other king that has come to Judah before or after him. He's sick unto death at the age of 39. What was killing him? We found out verse 7 of chapter 20, it was a boil. It was killing him. A boil was killing Hezekiah. Apparently it was pretty bad. We looked at Job a couple weeks ago, and how he had boils from the top of his head to the sole of his foot. Those couldn't take his life because God wouldn't allow it. On the other hand, this boy was killing Hezekiah. We find Hezekiah, a young man, 39 years old, on his deathbed, acting, serving God and God's people. A faithful, up to that point, he'd been a faithful man, faithful to his nation, faithful to God. Doesn't quite seem fair, does it? We talked this morning about the secrecy of God, how God doesn't have to explain himself. He is all-knowing and all-powerful, and he can do what he wants when he wants. Doesn't have to explain himself to us. In this chapter 20, we read it earlier, We see Hezekiah on his deathbed, age 39. Isaiah the prophet comes in and says, he says, you get your house in order because you're going to die. You are not going to live. You will die. Pretty scary. The man of God comes to your house, knocks on your door. He says, guess what? You're dying. Good luck. He turns around and walks out. That's all he says. Not much of a people person, apparently, Isaiah. I can relate with Isaiah. Hezekiah, he hears it. He turns, begins to weep and cry out to God to help him. He reminds God that he has served him. He says, I beseech thee, this is Hezekiah, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now I have walked before thee in the truth and with a perfect heart. Hezekiah is begging. He says, Lord, I've served you. I've done right. I've had a perfect heart. I've done what you're supposed to do for this nation. He's begging God to remember him for what he's done and how he stood. Isaiah spoke his peace. He's already started walking back out to out of the palace, and God stops Isaiah. He says, I've heard his prayer. God says, I've heard Hezekiah's prayer. You go back to Hezekiah and you tell him, I've heard him, and I'll heal him. He shall go into my house the third day to the temple, and I will add to his days 15 years. Not only that, he says, I'll take care of Assyria. I'll take care of his enemy, Assyria, the one he's been fighting with his entire reign. I'll take care of Assyria. He will have peace. So Isaiah gets a plan together. He takes the figs there, and the Lord heals the bull through the prophet Isaiah. And that's what I'm going to pick up in the message tonight. Let's look at those last 15 years of King Hezekiah. He's done a lot of things beforehand. We can cover those last 15 years pretty quick because there's not much to it, not much recorded to it. Number one, after he's been healed, we see his disbelief. Verse number 8 of 2 Kings 20, 2 Kings chapter 20, verse number 8. We see his disbelief. And Hezekiah said to Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I shall go into the house of the Lord the third day? Because God Almighty, as we see, has just healed him. He's healed the man. This man, this king of Judah, has been following God for his entire term, his entire reign as king. He followed God. He has feared God. He has served God. Has used him. God has blessed him. He has a lot of money, as we find out in different chapters, that God has really blessed him. He has a lot of wisdom, set up the aqueducts and different things for the palace. A wise man. And now, for some odd reason, he's questioning God. Can I ask you something, you folks here? Does God change? And he does not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It says Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. God Almighty never failed this king before. Even when by earthly standards he was conquered king, God sent an angel to kill his enemy for him. God has never failed this king. He's taken care of him. He's blessed him. He's used him. God has never failed him. Now he's been sick. God has healed him. He's standing. He's walking. He is on his deathbed. Now he's alive just from a bunch of figs. He was healed. And now he's questioning God. He's been through all of this with God. God has saved his life. And now he's questioning him. Why do we question God? Why do we trust him for some things but not for other things? Hezekiah trusted God with his enemies. Well, when it came to his life, he said, oh, I have a hard time believing that, Lord. Why do we trust God for things at church, but when it comes to our marriage, it comes to our family, it comes to our home, Lord, I don't know if you can handle it. I know you can handle that. I know you can handle the enemy, but Lord, I don't know if you can handle this. Hezekiah said, Lord, I know you can handle my enemies. You can take care of those. But as far as my life, I don't know if I really believe I'm really healed. What's my place? Here we go. He's been sick. God's healed him. He's on his deathbed. Now he's questioning. Here's a guy who trusted God with his enemies. King's life, he said, no, Lord, you can't do that. He's the same. Lord's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he can work before, if he can use Hezekiah before, he can use Hezekiah now. If he can help us before, he can help us now. If he can help us with one problem, he can help us with the other problem. He's the same. We see his disbelief. It doesn't make any sense why he would disbelieve after all he's been through with the Lord. Yet now we see his disbelief. Number two, we see his demands. Verse number 9. And Isaiah said, this sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? Hezekiah answered, is it a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees? Nay, let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. He's awfully demanding here, isn't he? I'm glad God is a long-suffering God. If that was me, I probably would have said, I just healed you. Shut your mouth and go on. That's probably what I would have said. I'm not God, thankfully. You better be thankful, too. God obliged him. He answered his request. God's that those degrees are talking about a sundial. 10 degrees on the sundial. God stopped time, moved time backwards for Hezekiah. God has saved him. He saved his nation. He has miraculously healed him, saved his life. And now God's moved time for this king, moved time backwards for this king of Judah. Now don't you think Hezekiah for sure, after all that, he'll do all he can for God? You would think that, wouldn't you? You expect that. Yet that's not what we're going to see. Some people say They say dumb things like, well, if God would do this for me, then I would serve him. I've heard people say dumb things like make God promises. God, if you get me out of this, then I'll be at church and I'll serve you and I'll serve the rest of my life. If you can do this for me, then you're making deals and making promises to God. He says, oh, yeah. Hezekiah says, oh, yeah, I'm healed. Prove it, God. You're going to give me 15 more years? Prove it. He is alive. He ought to be thankful. He's living. What more proof do you want? Hezekiah, he wants proof. We see his disbelief. We see his demands. We see his dumb decisions. Those usually follow. Verse number 12. At that time, Berodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. Hezekiah hearkened to them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and so on, different things there. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said to him, what said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country, even from Babylon. He said, what have they seen in thine house? Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in mine house have they seen. There's nothing among my treasures that they have not showed them. Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the day is come that all that is in thine house and all which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. So we see his enemies of the king of Judah, the king of Babylon, start sending Hezekiah little love notes and get well soon cards and little balloons and teddy bears. And I've heard you were sick. I've heard you're better. I've sent you a letter. Maybe we should just be friends. That's what he sent him letters. Hezekiah, now in his 15 last years, he's making friends with his enemies. Back in his 20s, when he first started to reign, he was knocking stuff down and ripping out groves and making moves and making a difference for God. He was removing those things, destroying those things. He refused to worship, refused to follow the king of Assyria. Yet now, God's blessed him with 15 more years. Now he's backsliding. He's allowing more things to come in his life. Allowing things to come in, has no business to stay. He's making friends with enemies. He has no business being friends with enemies of God. Be careful in your 15 years. You don't become friends to sin. Don't let down your guard on sin. Sin is still sin. I don't care how old you are. Sin is still sin. I don't care if you have been sick or not, if you've been healed or not. Sin is still sin. The enemy is still the enemy. Don't fall down on the job. Don't fall down on God. Don't become lazy in your last years. Hezekiah said, oh, what's it going to hurt? I spent 14 years of my life on my reign in battle fighting for God. I've been fighting Assyria for my first 14 years of my reign. It's time to take it easy. He has an attitude. He is invincible now. He's at his 15 more years. What does it matter what I do with him? What would you do if God gave you 15 more years? You say, well, what's the point? I'm going to live anyway. Would you fall down on God? Would you quit on? Would you fall back from falling after God? Or would you try to do all you can for him? As Hezekiah, he's gotten lazy. He's lost his standards. He's dropped his convictions. Don't get lazy on God. We see his dumb decisions, making deals with the devil. We see his disheartenment. Verse number 19. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. He said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? This is the most arrogant and prideful and selfish statement I think I could ever think of for him to say. Isaiah just pronounced judgment on this man's sons, the sons to come that he will beget. His sons, he pronounced judgment because of the dumb decisions to make friends with the enemy. And what does Hezekiah say? He says, okay, good is the word of the Lord. He said, okay, that's good, that's fine. And he says, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? What I get from that is, yeah, okay, judgment's coming. Just as long as peace and truth are in my day. Yeah, judgment's coming to my sons, but I only got 15 more years, so I'm just going to live it up now. Have peace in my days. Just as long as these last 15 years are peaceful, I don't care what is to follow. Is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? What about me? I've been fighting this battle for 14 years. What about me? Is it not good that I have any peace? Shouldn't I make peace with whoever I need just to make peace with, just so I don't have to fight anymore? Yeah, my sons are going to be eunuchs in the enemy's kingdom just as long as I have peace. What kind of father would ever say something like that? What kind of wimp would ever say something like that? Yeah, that's bad, just as long as I can be taken care of. What has happened to King Hezekiah? Hezekiah, the one who was there like none other before him, none other after him, is giving up on God. He's going to do whatever he has to do just to keep peace in his life, just to make himself happy, make his own home happy, even if that means selling out his own sons and his own kingdom. What a man. Fathers, don't you quit fighting. Don't quit fighting for the Lord. Don't you quit fighting for God in those last 15 years. Yeah, you may be tired. Yeah, maybe you can't do as much as you used to. Hezekiah here apparently couldn't. Don't you quit. Your sons may depend on it. You keep on fighting. You keep on going to war. You keep on taking a stand for God. You may never realize the impact you have on the generations to follow. Don't you quit. Don't you give up. You say, what's the point? I only have 15 more years anyway. What does it matter anyway? One word, Manasseh. We'll get to that more in a minute. The next chapter of Manasseh, his son Ammon, evil men, son and grandson of Hezekiah. Don't you quit. Fathers, don't you quit. Grandfathers, don't you quit. Your mothers, don't you quit. Your grandmothers, don't you quit. You have others falling behind you. You see, his dumb decisions ruined his sons. And sons, we don't even hear anything of the sons that he will beget. Apparently, there's other sons involved because Manasseh wasn't a eunuch in the kingdom of Babylon. Apparently, there's other sons involved that ruined their life. His dumb decisions ruined his sons, and all he cares about is peace in his own days. What has happened to him? We get the answer to that in 2 Chronicles 32, 24. You don't have to turn that real quick to you. It says the same account in 2 Chronicles as we get here in 2 Kings. It says, in those days, Hezekiah was sick to the death and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a son. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore, there was wrath upon him upon Judah and Jerusalem. That phrase, was lifted up, it means he was haughty. It means he got prideful. Hezekiah stood up from his deathbed. He popped his suspenders and he said, I'm King Hezekiah. The Lord's blessed me with 15 more years. I have peace for 15 more years. I can do what I want. He got prideful. The Lord mercifully saved his life. And King Hezekiah took it with pride. He thought he deserved it. Be careful in your last 15 years. Watch your pride. You may say, well, I've lived a long life. I've done a lot of things for God. Hezekiah might have said, I've conquered many in battle. It's time for me to slow down. It's time for me to compromise a little and time to make some friends and just have some peace. His son, his grandson, the nation of Judah in Jerusalem had to pay the price for it. We see his dumb decisions. We see his disheartenment. Last, we see his descendants. Verse number 20. And the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might and how he made a pool and a conduit and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and Manasseh, his son, reigned in his stead. So Hezekiah's 15 years are done. He dies. We don't hear anything else about him. Look at the beginning of chapter number 2. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and after the abomination of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. So did you catch it? Manasseh is 12 years old when he began to reign. Now wait a second. Manasseh is reigning at 12 years old. He didn't begin to reign until his father passed away. It says at the end of chapter number 20, Hezekiah died. Manasseh took his place. Manasseh's 12 years old. That tells me Manasseh was born inside of Hezekiah's last 15 years. Hezekiah bore children in those last 15 years the Lord blessed him with. At least one son, and it speaks of more there in the end of chapter 20. He bore children. We see the life of Manasseh. This is one you've probably heard about. He went after the heathen whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. It says in verse number 2, he goes to set up new groves and a new place to worship Baal and different false prophets. He's an evil king, did evil things. His son Ammon, Manasseh's son Ammon, he was evil as well. He followed after his father. He ruled very briefly. And then Josiah takes over, and thankfully he finds the word of God. Josiah starts to get things back right again, back to the way it was when Hezekiah was a young man. He starts to get things back in order again. What happened to Manasseh? I believe with all my heart, Hezekiah got lazy. Hezekiah got prideful. Hezekiah forgot to teach Manasseh about the things of God. He didn't care to. He didn't teach Manasseh the importance of having the Lord's help and ruling the nation of Judah. Something was lost somewhere. And then all it goes back to Hezekiah in those last 15 years. 3 years in, Manasseh's born. You see what he learned. He did so much with his life. In his last few years, he let so much slip. My question for you tonight, if you were dying now and God gave you 15 more years, what would you do with them? What are some things you wish you could do for God you keep putting off? What's something you keep telling God? Well, one day, Lord, I'll get to that. One day, Lord, I'll do that. If you only had 15 more years, would you be in a little bit more of a hurry to do it? Would you make plans to get something done for God? If you would, then what are you waiting for now? Do it now. We may have 15 more years exactly. I may be dead in 15 years. I don't know. Some of us may have 50 years. Others may have 15 days or 15 seconds. We don't know. None of us know what our future holds. Whatever you're going to do for God, just do it. What would you do with your last 15 years? Quit putting it off. Do something for him now. You say, well, I'm young. Hezekiah only died at 54 years old. What are you ever going to do for God? Just do it. Don't waste your time. Our life is even as a vapor, the Bible says. Appeared for a little time, then vanished away. Don't waste any more time. What would you do with 15 more years? It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. John 9:4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Go get busy. Get something done for God. Don't put it off any longer. What would you do with 15 more years? Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for giving us. Lord, thank you for the challenge from scriptures we got today. Lord, I pray us take it and do something for you. Let's not be lazy. Lord, thank you for blessing us with the health we have. In Jesus' name.